I do want to spend a little bit of time just covering this right here, because I said this was 40 years. This was the last 40 years, or 41 if you count all the dates exactly, but the last 40 years of this culture. And it was, they had four or five assassinations. They were people that were overrun. They had no idea where to turn. I want to go, if you would please, go to Exodus chapter 20, and I'm going to share something with you. The Bible verses that I read, you've got to take serious, obviously. But my application and my connecting of all these, I would ask that you take with a grain of salt, that you think about it. Other teachings that you've got on, other studies you've had, kind of put it in perspective. But I'm going to try to bring some things home for us here in the next 10 minutes. Chapter 20, verse 4, we are in the Ten Commandments. And again, the first thing you've got to take note of is these are verses written to Israel, God's client nation, that He formed a covenant with. Now, America, we are a Gentile culture. We can follow God, but we don't have this kind of a covenant with God. I mean, some people would want to say something like, I believe God uses us. I believe God reaches the world through America and has in the past, but we can't lock ourselves in and say, oh, this is just exactly for us. This is a covenant He made with Israel, so keep that in mind too. But nonetheless, the way God treats a nation is seen here. And we are a nation. Israel was a nation. So again, there's many applications at the same time. Verse 4. Now, do you know this? You shall not make for yourselves an idol in the form of anything. Notice this. An idol in the form of anything in heaven or earth or water. Anything in those areas. Don't look for your answers, your values. Don't look for your worship of something that is in your own dimension here. There's something greater. You shall not bow down to worship them, for I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God. Now here's what I want to look at. Punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commands. So here what we have is 1, 2, 3, 4 generations. He says to the third and fourth generation. Now again, there's a lot of things we could say about this. But what it says right here, but punishing the children for the sin of their fathers to the third and fourth generation. That word punishing, you have different Bibles, is translated different ways. The general idea there is to observe that sin, of looking at it, following it, watching it. It doesn't mean someone's going to sin here in this generation, and God's going to think about it, that person's going to live and die and have a child, and he's thinking about it, and finally it's like, you know what? Yeah, I am. Oh, they're dead. Who do I punish? I'll get his kid right here and punish his kid. It's not like that. We could go to Ezekiel where it says, well, go to Ezekiel. Please go to Ezekiel chapter 18. Because even the Jews, in the days of the Bible, as the Bible was being written, the Jews themselves would take these verses and twist them and make them fit the way they want to. I mean, I do the same thing. I've got to be careful. Everybody's got to be careful not twisting the verses.
Ezekiel
chapter 18. Look in verse 2. And this is Ezekiel now, of course, we're another 200 years in the future. Now, Judah has been taken captive into Babylon. At least the second wave of captives have been taken into Babylon. So there are Jews in Babylon, and Ezekiel is taken with them, and he becomes their prophet. God calls him to be a prophet at the age of 30, and he begins to prophesy to the Jews in captivity in Babylon. Well, all these Jews in captivity are saying, well, you know, we've been taken captive, but it wasn't our fault. I mean, we're doing everything we should be. You know, we did it right. It was our fathers. You know, our fathers. They do something wrong and we get punished for it, just like that Bible verse, you know, back there in Exodus. You know, I'll punish the sins of third and fourth generation, because I look around us and I don't see, we're doing fine. We never did anything wrong. Well, chapter 18, verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. What do these people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? Quote, the fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. God says, what do they mean by that? As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For every living soul belongs to me, the father as well as the son, both alike belong to me. The soul who sins is the one who will die. In other words, there's a discussion right there of this third and fourth, watching the sin of third and fourth generation. God says, I'm not punishing you for the sin your father committed. That's what Israel said. Well, You know, we could look at it, all the trouble America's having, that World War One generation. You know, we're living right, we're tolerant, we're welcoming all kinds of people. It was that World War One generation. And so we're getting punished. That's what they were saying. And God said, whoa, wait a minute. Wake up. Look in verse 14. He says, but suppose his son has a son who sees all the sins his father commits. And though he sees them, he does not do such things. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or look at the idols and goes like this. He goes on and says, he will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live. So in other words, this following the sin to the third and fourth generation, he's saying right here, if this father sins, has a son, and this father sins, but this son says, I'm not going to do that. He says, I'm not going to punish him. He says, the one I'm going to punish is when this son watches his father, and then this son watches his father, and they just keep doing it. He says, I'm punishing the sin for the sin of his father's, but it's because the father taught the son and taught the son who takes it to the fourth generation. He says, after four generations, I'm going to deal with it. Now, please, go to Leviticus chapter 26. Do you understand what I just said there?
Yeah.
It's not some kind of spiritual thing. It's that if you learn it from your father, a sin, and you teach it to your son learns it from you, by the fourth generation, God says, now watch. He says, I'll observe it or watch it or judge it or punish it to the third or fourth generation. There is no fifth generation. Well, why is he after the fifth generation? He's tired of judging it. We just keep on going. No, it's not that he gets tired of watching it. It's like the fourth generation means it's over. If you don't have it corrected by here, it's gone wild. Again, you can see how things, evil gets worse, righteousness gets worse or better. It expands. It's always growing. Jesus tells the parable of the sower sowing the weeds. You know, same thing there. Leviticus chapter 26. And you know this verse too. Leviticus 26, this is the curse of the law, if you would. But I want you to notice, there's five cycles of it. And each one meets a generation. See this? And finally, this one right here, the final one. Watch. As a nation goes away or a culture leaves God, you can see, we just went through the nation, the history of Israel in the north. God never just let them go. There is always a prophet. There's always somebody standing there. Hey, come back. They even knew when there was a famine in the land, they knew, we better go back to God. Because God would send invasion to bring the people back. He would send economic trouble to bring the people back. He'd send a prophet to bring the people back. He was always, that's God's graciousness, for four generations, he'd try to bring the people back. So what he is doing here, he's not a tyrant. He's trying to bring people back. Well, let's look in here, chapter 26, verse 14. But he says, but if you will not listen to me and carry out all these commands, and if you reject my decrees and abhor my laws and fail to carry out all my commands and so violate my covenant, then I will do this to you. I will bring upon you sudden terror, wasting disease, and it gives you a list right here.